This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every blessing He has given us. And we especially praise Him in these days for the great joy and the victory that we are seeing from our brothers and sisters in Bilad al-Sham. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbaru Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila, la ilaha illallahu wahda, sadaqa wa'da, wa nasara abda, wa a'azza jundahu, wa hazama al-ahzaba wa'da, la ilaha illallah, wa la na'budu illa iyyah, mukhlisina lahu ad-deena, wa law kariha al-kafirun. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, I do not think that any person of Iman was witnessing what we witnessed, except that their hearts were alight with joy. Yes, I know that there are many questions that we have and, you know, many ambiguities, but allow us just the pleasure and the luxury of enjoying the freedom of our brothers and sisters who have been persecuted for more than 65 years under one of the most tyrannical regimes of the last century. Wallahi, it is not an exaggeration to state that this tyrannical leader of that country and his father before him really exemplified the Fir'aun of our times. If anybody really vied for that title, in all likelihood, him and his father before him were the closest that we saw to the reality of Fir'aun. As Allah describes Fir'aun in the Quran, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. And every one of these characteristics and descriptions that the Quran applies to the classical Pharaoh, it applies to the modern manifestation of it. This tyrannical person known as Bashar al-Assad and his father before him, Hafiz al-Assad, in the entirety of my life on this earth, I have heard nothing but horror stories from my Syrian friends and colleagues, from my Syrian teachers, the realities of the torture prisons, the realities of the repression and the lack of freedom to be religious, people being arrested merely for praying Fajr, merely because they were seen with the wrong person, merely because of rumors that they didn't even know the realities to, and all of these stories, and only a portion of them are coming to light. And as for what is hidden, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Now, dear brothers and sisters, what are some of the lessons, what are some of the morals that we can extract from all that we have seen? Much can be said, but time is of course limited. I just want to mention a number of points that I have been pondering over. Of them, of the most important of these points, is the necessity and the importance of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of turning to Him for aid, for comfort, for dua, for tawakkul. Subhanallah, how could our brothers and sisters that were being persecuted for decades, who are not even seeing the sun for 45 years of their existence, how could they have maintained, you know, their courage, their sanity, other than by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Belief in Allah gives what nothing else gives. And when you have belief in Allah, it gives you comfort, it gives you support, it allows you a courage and a bravery, it gives you optimism and hope beyond hope. Really, the necessity of believing in Allah is manifested time and time again. And this is yet another manifestation of that. That especially at times of difficulty. Not that any of our difficulties can compare to their difficulties, but nonetheless, the importance and the blessings of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well the consolation that happens, in fact the realization that there's a day of judgment. And the Quran actually mentions that the preponderance of evil is an indication that this world is not the end all and be all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Do you think we're going to make the Muslim like the criminal? Do you think that they're just going to live and die and that's it? No, that's not going to happen. And Allah says in the Quran, أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Do you think that the one who does good deeds and believes in Allah is the same as the one who causes evil in the earth? Do you think that the muttaqi and the impious, the wicked, they're going to be the same? Now, if we don't believe in an akhirah, if we don't believe in a life after the day of judgment, then in reality, it is as if the equation is the same, that those that are good and those that are bad, they live and they die and that's it. When we see the reality of injustice that has been perpetrated by this evil tyrannical regime, when we hear of the torture stories, when we understand the reality of what is going on, wallahi, we look forward to the day of judgment, because we cannot implement ultimate justice in this world. Only Allah is Maliki Yawmiddin. What punishment, even if we were to catch this tyrant, even if we capture some of the guards who have, astaghfirullah, pillaged and plundered and raped and massacred dozens of people, the most, you know, heinous crimes, the most unspeakable violence perpetrated against innocent people, even if we capture these guards and we were to kill them, execute them, what good is that? How is that justice? And this is why we believe in Day of Judgment, and we believe in heaven for those that were persecuted, and we believe in hell for those that perpetrated that persecution. Wallahi, we understand the wisdom of believing in heaven and hell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, that justice is not found in this earth, justice is in the Akhirah. Also, of the lessons we extract from the realities of what we have seen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allows tyranny and injustice to flourish. Yes, our Prophet ﷺ said that sometimes Allah allows leeway for the wicked, for the impious, for the tyrant, but Allah never ignores. Allah allows leeway, but Allah never ignores. Allah Azza wa Jal might allow some time, but when Allah takes him, Allah takes him and holds him to a severe reckoning. Look at the reality of this tyrant. He caused more than 10 million of his people to become refugees. And now, this week, he became a refugee in his own land. He was causing fear to so many people. And now today, he is living in fear. And this is the sunnatullah fi khalqihi. Allah never allows tyranny to go unanswered. Rather, the one who has perpetrated violence, the one who has done so much dhulm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him to account. And no nation, and no dynasty, and no regime that has been guilty of such violence shall ever flourish. They might be let go in this world for a while, but eventually Allah takes them and holds them to account. And this is, inshallah ta'ala, good news for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted around the world, for our brothers and sisters in China and the Uyghur situation, for what is happening in Palestine and Gaza, for what is happening around the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed show us a day where the evil tyrants are taken into account and where all of their evil deeds are brought to an end, and only Allah will give ultimate justice in the hereafter. Also, of the wisdoms and of the morals that we can extract from this is the hypocrisy of those superpowers that stood by, in fact, indirectly or directly aided and abetted what is going on, and the tyrant that was in charge. Subhanallah, the reality is that those groups that were formed as a direct result, as a reaction to the tyranny of this person, those groups, even if they committed acts that we don't agree with, even if we're talking about, of course, the groups of 15 years ago, the pseudo-jihadists and the militant groups, which I do not agree with, but those groups, they were a result of the tyranny of this person. And the Western world prioritized the result over the cause. And they made such a big deal about those groups, and they ignored the root cause of those groups. And they made such a big deal about the immigration of the Syrian refugees. Millions and millions of people were fleeing from this tyrant, and so many Western lands were irritated by the refugees, but they didn't understand they were causing it directly and indirectly by supporting the cause of those refugees. If Bilad al-Sham had been safe, if tyranny had been stopped, if this evil dictator sanctions had been against him rather than the people of Syria, if the world boycotted this particular family rather than penalizing the people for things that are not in their control, then neither would we have had the rise of these radical groups, nor would we have had the refugee crises. And yet, as is the want, the Western superpowers blamed the symptoms rather than the root causes, because they were directly aiding and abetting those root causes. So we have to be careful about this hypocrisy and this reality. And of course, of the points that we have to ponder over is the fragility of the nation-state identity, the fragility of these borderlines. Syria, of course, is a product, a direct product of the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which is a 1916 secret agreement between the French and the British, and they quite literally divided up the modern contours of Syria, the modern borders of Syria. They go back to a debate taking place between Sykes and Picot, two British and French attachés to the embassies, who are arguing over how to carve up the Ottoman Empire. And these false, imaginary lines, these are not things that we should be overtly concerned with. Our ultimate loyalty and identity is based upon values and faith. It is based upon our allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our love of the Quran and our fact that we are all united by the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, much more can be said here, but now is the time really of joy and happiness. Now is the time of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now is the time as well of deep introspection, that we want to maintain dignity and preserve the freedoms of this land, and that will require some bravery and courage from all sides, and it will require a compromise once again from all sides. We do not want a repeat of the past, and we should look at the lessons that we've learned in the last 15 years from Arab Spring and pre-Arab Spring and post-Arab Spring. And my advice to everybody is to act in a manner that is, inshallah ta'ala, meant to protect the freedoms of the peoples of those regions, so that everybody can be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without penalties, without any problems, without any monitoring of the governments and authorities. We want the people to be able to worship Allah with utmost freedom. That is the real freedom. Right now, we will just rejoice and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our brothers and sisters in Bilad al-Sham, and to allow what happened in Bilad al-Sham to be a catalyst for other regions as well, in which, inshallah ta'ala, freedom and safety and security and the rights to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are protected and guaranteed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our brothers and sisters in Bilad al-Sham and the neighboring regions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us in other lands as well that which will be a comfort of our souls and the coolness of our eyes. May Allah allow us to be instruments of khair and harbingers and bringers, inshallah ta'ala, of barakah and khair through Allah azza wa jal. We ask Allah to be Fatih al-Khair, keys that open up doors of good. Maghaliq al-Shar, keys that close doors of evil. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us ikhlas, tawfiq, hidayah, and sadad. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.